Okay, I think we can start. Welcome, everybody. My name is Ken Casada. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft Switzerland, and in the next 60 minutes, I will give you an overview of Windows Azure. I know it's the first session after lunch in such a beautiful, comfortable room, so it's a little bit dangerous. But anyway, let's start. So what is Windows Azure? Of course, it's Microsoft Cloud Computing Platform. It's a platform that is flexible, it's open, and it's solid. It's flexible because whatever application you're targeting, mobile application, web application, media application, enterprise applications, Windows Azure offers you really a lot of great features and capabilities you can take advantage of. It's open. It's open in terms of the operating system that you can use. You can provision Windows machine, but you can even provision Linux machine. Of course, we hope that you will provision Windows machine, but that's another story. It's open in terms of the programming languages that you can use. And last but not least, you can even develop your Azure solution using a Macintosh machine and Windows, of course. It's a solid platform. Why that? Because Windows Azure has been designed to be solid. So you can really create your solutions for your customer, which are really highly available solutions. And the concept of high availability will come back many times during this presentation. So you can really bet your business on it. With Windows Azure, we provide you really a global reach. We have 8 different regions, or if you prefer, 8 different data centers, 4 in North America, 2 in Europe. One is the North Europe data center, which is the one in Dublin. Then we have the West Europe data center, which is the one in Amsterdam. And then we have 2 of them in Asia, plus additional 2 that are not on the map, which are in China. Yes, we cover China as well, but just for people, so customers inside China. But in case you have some business in China, who knows? And then what we have? We have CDN, Content Delivery Network, quite a lot of them. And Content Delivery Network can be used in order to store static content, okay? And of course, over the year, we will extend, we will increase the number of CDN, but of the data center as well. I suppose probably 2014, 15, you will see additional data center around in Europe and outside Europe. Let's talk a little bit about one of the coolest things about Azure, which is the paying model. Why that? Because you really pay only for what you use. I know it sounds a little bit like a slogan, but it's really like that, as you will see later in the demo. And this is very different to what you're used to in a typical on-premises environment, where you have to make big investment upfront, where you have to pay licenses upfront, where you need to request approval upfront. So try to go by the system administrator and ask him, hey guy, please, can you please set up for me a couple of VM because I need to test my SharePoint web farm solution. It will take some time, okay? Approval and so on. With Azure, you just need a subscription, and as well as a developer, you can log in inside the portal, you can set up your own machine and start to do your test, your development stuff. So Windows Azure, it's not only a platform for productive solutions, but can also be used for testing purpose. So if you want, you can spin up a machine with 56 gigabytes of RAM, an 8-core machine, use it for 5 minutes, and then shut it down. So it's really a nice, flexible model. And with Azure, you don't have to pay for unused capacity. If you don't need something, you just shut it down, and you stop paying. If you need a lot of resources, you can spin instances of virtual machine up, and when you don't need them anymore, you can spin them down, and you stop paying. And the nice thing about it is that we are even able to make you pay only for the minutes that you're using something. That for compute resources, like virtual machine. So as I said before, if you want, you can choose to set up a powerful machine with 56 gigabyte of RAM, use it for 5 minutes, and then stop it. And you're just going to pay for the 5 minutes. I always got quite a lot of questions from customers around how much does it cost and so on. If you go inside the Windows Azure portal, and you click here, and you click on pricing, we have what we call the pricing calculator. So you can say, OK, I want to have to set up a virtual machine with Windows on top of it. I want a big machine, which is 8-core, 56 gigabytes of RAM. I need one. And that's the price for 1 month. OK? But if you use it just for 5 minutes, no problem at all. You're going to pay just for the 5 minutes. Here below, you can change the price. You can say, OK, I want to have the price in Swiss francs, and so on. I need a database, and so on. So you can really calculate the cost of your future solution on Azure. Quite a useful tool. But let's go back to the slide, and let's start to talk a little bit about all the different computing environment that we offer on Azure. And I want to start with infrastructure as a service, with virtual machine. And when I'm talking about infrastructure as a service, I'm talking about two different things. First of all, virtual machine, and second, virtual private network. With virtual machine, I mean durable machine. What does it mean that? It means that whatever you put on that machine, after you restart the machine, it will still be there. Okay? So you can install, you can do whatever you want with this machine. You can do whatever you want because you are the owner of that machine, you are the administrator of those machines, and as an administrator, it's up to you to manage the machine, it's up to you to patch the machine, to do the upgrade of the OS, and so on, because it's your machine. You can do pretty much everything with those machines. As I mentioned before in the introduction, you can provision Windows Server machine, Linux machine, quite a lot of them. You will see them. You will see in a moment the list. And then, as I said, not only virtual machine, but virtual private network as well. What are those virtual private network? With virtual private network, what you can do? You can actually define your own private address space. So you can define your IP ranges, your IP subnet ranges, and then you can place your virtual machine inside this virtual private network. And in that way, the nice thing is that the machines which are inside the virtual private network can talk to each other with direct IP communication, and they don't have to go outside and communicate to other machines using a public IP address or a public endpoint. But they can really do direct IP communication, which means, at the end of the day, that you have low latency, better performance. Okay? I always got another question from customer. Can I assign statically, statically assign an IP? The answer is no, it's not possible. But what you have to know is that as soon as you place a virtual machine inside a virtual private network, for instance, the machine got an IP assigned. And this IP will remain the same for the whole life of the virtual machine. So it's something important, but as soon as you shut it down, as soon as you deallocate the machine, you will lose the IP. The next time you assign the machine to the same, you restart the machine will get a new IP address. So it's really very important. And then what we have? With virtual private network, you can also build what we call cross-premises scenario. You have seen something this morning during the keynote. So you can really extend, if you want, if you have a VPN inside your organization, you can extend it to Azure in a secure way. And also in that case, you can do direct IP communication. So you can really build a lot of interesting scenario. Am I ready on the first demo? So I am inside the Windows Azure portal. And now what I want to do, I want to create a new virtual machine. So I say new, compute, virtual machine, from gallery. And here you can choose from a list of different images. We have Windows Server, SQL Server machine, and so on. And of course, depending on the machine that you choose, you're going to pay a different price, because the price that you have seen before on the calculator includes the licensing price. Which means that if you select a Windows Server machine, you're going to pay something. In case you select a SQL Server machine, you're going to pay a little bit more, because the price includes the price for the operating system. In addition to that, the price for the SQL Server license. Okay? In my case, I select Windows Server 2008 R2. I click on Next. At that point, I need to provide a name of my virtual machine. I call it IIS VM5, supposing I want to set up a new web server with IIS Internet Information Server on top of it. At that point, depending on the core and the memory that you need for your application, you can choose a different size. Let's leave it small. And here you need to provide the administrator of your machine. You cannot use administrator as a name. You cannot use root, but you need to use something different. In my case, I use Kakazada. And at that point, you need to provide a strongly password. Now we go to the next point. And here, what you can do. Here you have to create a new cloud service, or you have to assign your machine to an existing cloud service. What is the cloud service? The cloud service, if you want, is a container for one or multiple machine. And if I place multiple machine inside the same cloud service, I can place them behind a load balancer. We will see that after I'm finished with the visor. So you can place them behind a load balancer with a couple of clicks. The next thing is what? Here I have already this name, so let's do 6. And now at that point, what you do, you have to assign either the region, the affinity group, or virtual network. Virtual network, I mentioned before, the region is clear. The data center, do you want your app or your virtual machine deployed in West Europe, North Europe, whatever? Or as another option, you have affinity group. What's the affinity group? The affinity group is actually almost the same thing. When you create a new affinity group, you have to provide a name and you have to provide the data center. So you say affinity group XY assigned to data center West Europe. Why we do that? It's just a way to organize information so that every time you provision a new service for your solution, for your application, instead of selecting every time the data center, you can just select the affinity group. And so you're sure that all the components of your solution are going to be close to each other because they are inside the same data center, because they will be deployed inside the same data center. In my case, I don't care. I put West Europe. And then we have something in addition that we need to select, which is the storage account. What's the storage account? This is a Windows Azure storage account. That's the place where the VHD file, which is related to your virtual machine, is going to be placed, is going to be stored. And here you can create a new storage account, or you can place your virtual machine, the VHD file, inside an existing one. It's really up to you. Maybe one small additional information on that, VHD file. What you have to know is that the VHD file that we produce in Azure are 100% compatible with the one that you produce on a typical on-premises environment. What does it mean that? It means that you're not locked in inside the platform, inside the Windows Azure platform, because you can take a VHD created on Azure and download it on your local on-premises environment. The other way is also possible. And for that, we have some special tool, OK? Just for your information. And then what we have? We have something quite interesting, which is the availability set. What's that? It's really an interesting concept. I mentioned before in the introduction that it's a solid platform. We are able to deliver to our customer highly available solution. And this availability set is related to this high availability concept. It's one of the things. Why that? Suppose that you have a web application. Suppose that you want to set up a web application with IIS, and you want to have 3 different virtual machines with the same application deployed on that machine. If we take those 3 virtual machines and we place them inside the same record server, and there is a problem with the network switch, which is connected to this record server, we have a big problem. We say that we have a single point of failure, my network switch. So if I have a problem with the network switch, all my solution will be down, which is not good. So what you can do, you can say, I want to create a new availability set, and I'm going to assign those 3 virtual machines to the same availability set. By doing that, Azure makes sure to place those virtual machines in different places, in different record server, so that if there is a problem, it's going to affect maybe one virtual machine, but not all the VM. Okay? So it's really an interesting concept. And if you have a look at the documentation on the MSDN documentation, you will see the concept of fault domain, which is exactly what I explained to you. And the second concept that you're going to see is what we call the update domain. Why that? Because the same concept can be applied in case of update. If I take, we will see later, platform as a service. In platform as a service, you just have to provide a package file, a configuration file as a developer, and the machine is already there, is ready. You're not the administrator of the machine. The virtual machine is being provided by Microsoft. You provide us the application. We deploy the application on the machine. But you are not the owner of that machine, OK? And also there, when Microsoft needs to do some security update on the operating system image of those virtual machines which are being used by the customer, we need to update them in some way. And what we do, we really make sure that we start to update your solution, starting first by one machine, then by the second one, and by the third one. Because it can be that one update requires two machines to make a reboot. And then we have, once again, a problem. So once again, the concept of fault domain and update domain, which is applied a little bit everywhere inside the Windows Azure platform. The next step, I can define endpoint. So you can add an endpoint so that the resources, and with resources I mean other VM, which are outside the same cloud service, are even able to communicate with your virtual machine. Endpoint, it's possible to define endpoint as well later. I will do that. Then you're finished and you click OK. At that point, the machine is being provisioned. You see, starting provisioning. I do not have 5 or 7 minutes to wait for this machine to come, so I have already prepared 3 virtual machines. In particular, I have IIS VM1 and IIS VM2 and the 3. And what you can note here is that those 3 machines are inside the same DNS name. And now I want to show you inside the same cloud service, so they have the same DNS name. And I want to show you how you can place them behind the load balancer. What you have to do is to say, OK, I select the first machine. It's already done because it takes maybe 1 minute after the configuration to be ready. You go inside the endpoint section, and then you say, add a new endpoint. You select add a standalone endpoint. You do that just on the first machine, OK? You click on next. And here you can define the port on which your application your machine will listen for incoming request. What you can also do, you can create a load balance set. So I did it already. So I close that, and I have already defined this web endpoint. So I go now in edit mode. I created the endpoint. I defined port 8080. Now I can even say reconfigure the load balance set. And on the second mask, you can set quite a lot of different parameters, but I don't want to go too much into the detail. What you do, you give the name, IIS load balanced, that's the name. And then below here, you see already that I have a couple of machines which are behind the same load balancer that I have created, IIS VM1 and IIS VM2. So what we have to do now, in theory, is to add as well machine 3. So you select machine 3, which is inside the same cloud service. You go inside the endpoint section. You click add an endpoint. And this time you say add an endpoint to an existing load balance set. And here you get the list. You see your load balance set that you have defined before. If I click on OK, at this point I will have 3 different machines behind the same load balancer. To prove you that IIS VM1 and IIS VM2 are effectively behind the load balancer, what I did, I connected myself to the first machine, because once the machine is being provisioned, you can click on the connect button here below, and then you land inside your Azure virtual machine. And what I did this thing for all the machine, I added the web role. So I now have IIS inside this machine, Internet Information Server, and I deployed this stupid, simple application. What this application is doing, I have here, it's an ASP.NET app, is just telling me the name of the machine on which my request has landed. So I did this for the first machine. I did the same thing for the second machine. And now if I try to call my application, you see, my cloud service DNS name, cloudapp.net/my web app, default ISPX. It's exactly the application which is being deployed here. I do a refresh. You see, the time is changing. I'm landing on machine one, OK? Now I need to connect myself. Here I am on machine two, so I have to close that one. I am on machine one, OK? Now I connect myself to machine one. I click on connect, open. I can log in with the administrator account I defined during the wizard. Yes. I can start Internet Information Server. Here I have the same web application deployed. You see, it's here. And now what I'm doing, I'm going to stop the web server so that it's not available anymore. I stop it. It's now stopped, you see. I go back here inside my web application. I make a refresh, and I'm landing on machine two. So you see that both the machines are really behind the load balancer. Good. Let's continue, and let's go back to the slide, and let's talk about the second computing model, which is Windows Azure website. And Windows Azure website is the easiest way that you get in order to create and deploy website on Azure. You can build a website using Microsoft technologies like ASP.NET and SQL Server as a database, but you can even create application, web application, using non-Microsoft technologies like PHP and maybe a MySQL database as a backend. Then I put, you have seen this morning, it's pretty new. For website, we also have WebSocket support now, and we even support remote debugging, okay? Not only inside cloud services, but as well inside website. You have seen this morning during the keynote a short demo. And the nice thing about web services is that you can deploy it in seconds using web deploy or FTP. And one really nice thing is that you can even use what we call source control deployment. What's that? What you can do, in case you have your source code, let's say we take, I don't know, a Visual Studio solution, okay? With your code, your web code of your web application. This Visual Studio solution is bound to a source control tool, to a source control solution like Team Foundation Server in the cloud or Git or whatever, okay? The nice thing about source control deployment is that you can say, okay, now I want to make a code change inside my project. I make a check-in of my solution. The code change is going to be stored in my source control tool, TFS in the cloud, for instance. And TFS in the cloud, what it's going to do, is going to take the new version of my project, of my application, it's going to recompile it, to rebuild the bold solution, and it's going to publish it to Azure so that I have automatically the new version on Azure. I want to do now a short demo on that. So what I have here, first, let's go inside the portal. I say I want to create a new website. And here you have a couple of options. The first option is to say from gallery. And if you select from gallery, here you see you get a huge list of open source framework which are available, PHP-based, ASP.NET-based, which are using MySQL or a SQL Server, as I mentioned before. You can search for category, I don't know, CMS. And in my case, I'm going to select Orchard CMS, which is an open source CMS from Microsoft. You can click on Next. You provide the URL, where do you want your app to be available. You select the region, and boom, you're done. After a couple of minutes, you can start to work with this CMS. That's the first option that you have. The second option is to say, OK, I have already my solution. It's inside my Visual Studio. I want to create a new website. And I say, quick create. I give a name. It's a MVC website, so let's call it my MVC website 33. Hopefully, it's three. Wonderful. West region, I want to deploy in Amsterdam, create website. And let's wait a couple of seconds more. Voila, my website is ready. If I click here, there is nothing because my website is empty. So I need to deploy something here. What can I do? I can go inside Visual Studio. Here I have an MVC application. It's nothing special. I just created a new MVC standard project. So I used the standard template. That's the web application. And now what I do, I right-click on my project, and I say publish. And at that point, I can say that I want to publish on Azure. I'm already connected to my subscription. And at that point, I can select my MVC website 33. OK. At this point, Visual Studio is going to download all the credential information that he needs to in order to make the deployment on Azure. I click Publish. And depending on the speed of the connection here, we will have our website. It was really, really fast, totally unexpected. OK, then the connection is really, really speedy. And we have our website, which is now on Azure. OK? The website has been deployed. Now what we want to do, I want to activate source control deployment. What I forgot to tell you is that this web application is bound to TFS in the cloud, Team Foundation Server in the cloud. I can now go inside the portal. I can select my MVC website 33. And here there is a link below, it's a little bit small, called Setup Deployment from Source Control. I click on that one. I select the kind of repository I'm using. I'm using Team Foundation Server in the cloud. I click on Next. At that point, I have to provide the account name of my TFS in the cloud, Kakazada. I click on Authorize now. Now I got this mask, and now I have to click on Accept. Something strange happened. There is, I retry. It's really strange. Authorize now. I tried this morning. It seems to be dead. OK, I have a problem, but luckily then I have a backup solution. If it's working, I don't know why it's not working now. There should be maybe a problem, I don't know, with my machine, because I tested it this morning and I created this my new MVC web app, which is actually already connected to my TFS project. What is happening, you get a mask where you can select the container on TFS in the cloud, and you say, OK, that's it, nothing special. So I have here another application. And once the project is connected to TFS in the cloud, you got an additional tab, which is the deployment tag here. So if you click on the deployment, you should see the deployment I did this morning. You see, Thursday, November 12th. This morning at 7, I was still in Zurich. And yeah, now I need to open the solution which is bound to that project, which is actually the same solution and should be that one here. I hope so. So the solution is bound to TFS in the cloud, has been already deployed to Azure the first time this morning. I can go now inside this page here. And I'm going to do a code change, not really, just a text. So ASP.NET gives you a really powerful blah, 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 blah. Save it. Now I right-click on my solution, and I do a check-in. Oh, why the mask is here? Good question. Check-in. Successfully checked in. Now what's happening? TFS in the cloud will take my new version, and it will deploy and push it to Azure automatically for me. I go here. It takes maybe some time. We have to wait. At some point, you will see something moving inside this deployment mask. So instead of losing too much time, I will continue with the demo. And then if I forgot, remember me to come back on that deployment tab. What I want to show you is this nice, pretty new scale preview section. It's still in preview, as you can see. So I click here. And what you can do? First of all, you can define the website mode. The first one is free, which means you don't have to pay It's free of charge, and you can create up to 10 websites for free per region, per data center. It's free. But of course, because since it is free, you are in a multi-tenant environment, and you have some CPU quota, some network resource quota, and so on. I would say free, it's more for testing purposes, okay? You cannot do much here. You see, you cannot increment the number of instances. So if you want, for instance, to increment the number of instances, you have to move at least to the shared mode, which is a paying model. At this point, you start to pay something, but not that much. Why that? Because you are, again, in a multi-tenant environment, okay? And what you can do in shared mode? In shared mode, you can do quite a lot of interesting stuff. For instance, we support custom domain, okay? So you can register your own domain here. You can bind your own domain with your Windows Azure website. We even support CNAME record, R-record, so that you don't have the www in front of the domain name. And what you can do, you can even increment the number of instances, so the number of virtual machines on which my website will be deployed. But you are still in a multi-tenant environment, which means you are not alone on that machine. If you really want to have a dedicated machine, you have to move to the standard website mode. And since you are on a dedicated machine, you can also choose which kind of machine do you want, a small, a medium, or a large one. And now things start to be a little bit more interesting. What you can do now? Remember, we are in the scale tab, okay, in the scale section. You can set up schedule time rule. So you can say, okay, you know, I have a website. During the night, it's everything pretty dead. During the day, there is quite a lot of traffic. So I need to define some scaling rule. And so I click on set up schedule time, and I say that I want to define different rule for the day and the night. You could also say for the weekdays and the weekend, but let's leave it like this. And then you say, you know, for me the day, it starts at 9 in the morning, because that's the point where the traffic is starting to increase, and it stops more or less at 6:30 in the evening. I have, of course, to provide the time zone so that we know where you're living, what's for you the 9 a.m. And what you can also do, you can also define additional rule, because you know at one specific day there is one specific event, and so you can store those specific event XY, and so on. Now what's happening? I click on OK. Yeah, oops. So different scale setting for day and night. I click on OK. And now what's happening? The combo box here is being populated with the rule that you have defined. It can be the specific event, it can be the day rule or the night rule. And then you say, you know, during the day, I want to have always 8 instances. So my solution will be deployed on 8 different virtual machines. Or you can say, you know, where in the night, it's pretty quiet, so let's keep just 2 instances. And Windows Azure will start to increase and decrease the number of instances of virtual machine for you automatically. But you can even do more crazy stuff. So you can say, you know, I do not want to scale by metric, but I want to scale by CPU. What's happening? You know, during the day, we have, yes, quite a lot of traffic. At some point, I need 8 instances. But the traffic is changing all the time, OK? So I not really need 8 instances during the whole day. So what I can say, I want to scale the metric by the CPU. And now you can select some, you have some additional option, and you can say, you know, during the day, I always want to have at least 2 instances and maximum 8 instances. And you know that the target CPU must be between 39 and 80%. What does it mean that? It means that as soon as the CPU usage, it's an average, it's being calculated, it's being measured, I think, every 5 minutes, as soon as the CPU usage is going below the 39%, Azure will start to decrease the number of virtual machines on which your solution is being deployed. As soon as you go above the 80%, Azure will start to increase the number of virtual machines on which your solution is being deployed, but no more than 8, so that you know where you're landing with the price, okay? You can really calculate that. And then you click on Save, and you're done. Good. Let's go back to the Deployment tab and see. if something happened? Come on. I do a refresh of the page. I don't know why it's so slow now, suddenly. Come on. This here was my website. I go inside the deployment section. And now you see, now we have a new deployment. This is the active one. It's the one I just created a couple of minutes ago. Okay? And if you click on the URL of your website, I should now see the new version with the really inside the text. It's here. Okay? So we have the new version deployed on Azure. This was about source control deployment. Good, let's go back to the slide. So we did the demo. And then let's talk about the third computing environment, which is cloud services. So in that case, I'm talking about platform as a service. And when I'm talking about platform as a service, I mean that you don't take care of the infrastructure. You are using a fully automated environment. Microsoft is managing everything for you. It means that as a developer, what you have to do, you have to provide two files, one configuration file and one package file. In the package file, there is the application that you want to deploy in a cloud service. In the configuration file, you provide the Azure platform all the information that Azure needs in order to deploy your application. What are those kind of information? For instance, which kind of virtual machine do you want to use? A small, a medium, a large one? How many instances do you want of those machines? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So all those kind of information are inside the configuration file. So you give us those two information, and we will do the rest for you. We are talking about platform as a service, so we are managing the machine, we are doing the patches, the upgrade of the OS, and all those stuff. When you create and you deploy a cloud service solution, we are talking about web role and worker role. What is the web role and what is the worker role? I'm talking about web role virtual machine and worker role virtual machine. That's the way we talk when we talk about cloud services. So you can choose if you want to deploy your solution inside a web role virtual machine or inside a worker role virtual machine. The web role is being typically used for web application, like a web front end. The worker role is being typically used for doing stuff in the background. I bring you an example. In 2009, when we launched Azure for the first time, cloud services, before it was called, by the way, hosted services, was the only available option. Okay, there was no infrastructure as a service. And what we did like I wrote an hands-on lab, which was showing how you can create, how you can deploy a cloud services solution. And the lab was about creating a website, a web application, which allows users to upload images in the cloud. So there was an interface, a web interface, with a button, upload, and all these things is going to be deployed inside a web role. A web role is a Windows Server machine with IIS on top of it. The worker role, it's the same thing, but without IIS. So one is a web server, the other not, a Windows Server machine. So inside this sample application, the first task was to deploy something in the web role, and this was the web application. It was about uploading stuff into the cloud. And then a second task, a second exercise in this lab, we required people to do some background work. And the idea was, okay, now that the images are in the cloud, inside the Windows Azure Storage, there is a second process which take those images from the storage, and it creates additional or different size version of the images, like the thumbnail version and so on. So it's something that can happen asynchronously. And so people had to deploy this second process inside the worker role. So with cloud services, you can really start to create multi-tier architecture applications. It means as well that it takes a little bit more investment from your time, okay? because you need to think about a little bit more about the architecture of such an application. For instance, if you want to deploy a cloud services solution, you need to create stateless application. It's really important. Why that? Because if you don't create a stateless application and you start, for instance, to store information on the local machine, you have a problem. Why that? Because if there is a problem with that machine, I don't know, an hardware failure, whatever, what we do for cloud services, Azure say, there is a problem with that machine. Let's take it out from the load balancer. I prepare a new machine. I take the package file you provided me initially, and I deploy that package on the new machine. So if you stored something on that local machine, it's lost. It's away. So you need to think about that. You need really to create a stateless solution. If you really need to store information, data on the local machine, then you should not go with cloud services, but you should probably go with infrastructure as a service, with virtual machine, the first demo I did before. Okay? So that's very important. And with cloud services, the load balancer, it's already built in, so you don't have to do anything. As I said, configuration file plus package file. In the configurations file, you say you want 5 virtual machines. As soon as your package is being deployed on those 5 virtual machines, those 5 virtual machines will be automatically behind the load balancer. So you don't have to go configure anything. They are automatically behind the load balancer. Okay? It's a fully managed environment once again. Good. So far, okay, time is good. This is just the dialogue that you get when you want to deploy a cloud service. You see you have to provide the information, the package file, and the configuration file, which can be uploaded from your local machine or from another storage account. Of course, Azure, it's more than that. It's really huge. There are quite a lot of things. You have seen this morning a lot of stuff around identity, around Active Directory during the keynote. And now I want just to mention a couple of additional stuff, which I think are quite important to understand. And the first one is SQL database. What's that? SQL database is a relational database. It's a relational SQL database in the cloud. It's written there. It's clustered for high availability. Why that? Because what you have to know is that when you create a new SQL database, this new SQL database, it is being stored inside the Windows Azure storage. So the same storage where the VHD file, which is related to your VM, we have seen before on the first demo, it's being stored in the same place, the Windows Azure storage. But what you have to know is that the Windows Azure storage, it always maintains 3 copies of the same data. So actually, you have one database, you create one database, you see it as a single database, but actually you have 3 copies of this database inside the Windows Azure storage. I should tell you something more. If you go inside the portal and you select one storage account, so I go on storage, I take that one, for instance, what do you see? Here below, it's not here, it's on configure. Okay. If you select a storage account and you go in the configure section, what you can see here, you see this feature called geo-replication, on-off. What's that? If geo-replication is on, and per default it is on, what we do 3 additional copies of your data inside the closest data center. So if you deploy your primary, your solution inside the West Europe data center, and geo-replication is on, is enabled, we're going to make 3 additional copies on the next data center. So if you deploy in Amsterdam, the second copy will be in Dublin. If you deploy in Dublin, the second copy will be in Amsterdam. I do not have any data at the moment about the replication time. I think it's a couple of minutes, but I do not have anything official. In fact, if you go on your storage account here, on the dashboard, you see here below, that in my case, my primary region is West Europe, and the secondary region is North Europe. And here you see last georeplication failover. It means that something got destroyed in Amsterdam. I don't know, a plane is landing inside the data center, in which case there would be a georeplication failover, but nothing happens so far, luckily. So this is good to know. Let's go back to the slide. So SQL database is being stored as well inside the Windows Azure Storage. It's clustered for high availability. It's fully managed. In order to create a SQL database, it's really 1 minute. You don't have to configure the database and all those stuff. But what you have to know, also in that case, very important, you are once again in a multi-tenant environment, which means you're not alone on the machine. I know people start to, that could be a problem. Could be a problem, that's true. Although I have to say that we are monitoring the situation all the time. So if somebody, a customer, is using too much resources, we are going to move him on another machine. And I would say that probably for the majority of applications that we develop in Switzerland, we can go well with SQL database. But in case this is really a problem and you really want to have a dedicated machine, we have a new offer. It's still in preview, and it's called SQL Database Premium. Of course, you pay much more because you have a dedicated machine, but it's a fully managed environment. You get SQL, you get the same experience, and you can use the premium version. And then you get one machine for you with all the performance. I got also typically the question about, should I use SQL database, or should I set up myself a virtual machine installing the full SQL server that you use today on premises? Okay, what's the difference between that one here, which is on the slide, and the one that you use today on premises? You have to know a couple of things. The first thing is that SQL database does not support full text search. So if you need full text search for your application, you can't use SQL database, but you have to go with the full SQL version, which means infrastructure as a service, which means set up a new virtual machine, deploying the SQL server by yourself, managing yourself, all the stuff, doing the patching, and so on. And another thing which we do not support with SQL database is the SQL agent. You do not have any SQL agent here. So if you need the SQL agent, once again, you need to go with the full SQL. And then there is another small thing, which is CLR object. Here we do not support CLR object, although maybe not everybody here is using CLR object. I think I'm already at the end of the presentation. I was pretty fast. I don't know if you have any particular questions from your side. Otherwise, I will stay anyway today, and tomorrow I will be outside there. There is the speaker area. So if you want to see additional stuff and so on, you can come. After that session, I will hold another session, which is dedicated to Windows Azure mobile services and Windows Azure media services. Two separate product, okay? Two completely different stuff. So if you're interested with Windows Azure mobile services, you can come. Mobile services is about creating a backend for your application in an easy and quickly way. That's Windows Azure for all kind of application, iOS, Android, web app, whatever. And the media services is about to provide a media solution to your customers, which is also available for all sorts of client application. Once again, iOS, and so on. So if you're interested on those two topics, you can join the next session. OK, see that there are no questions. Otherwise, as I said, I will be outside the whole day and tomorrow as well. Then thank you very much for joining, and enjoy the rest of the conference.